I think everybody has gotten one of the 10 plagues, right? Which one did you get? I got to keep up with Rusty. We have the next batch to hand out. Not that we're going to need it for a little while, but I just need to get them out of my office, all right? And the next one we'll be giving you here will be week 28. And it'll take you right on through to, I think, week 36, as we'll wrap up all the way through Exodus, Leviticus, and the book of Numbers. So they'll be up here after class. You can come up here, grab one, and stick it into your thing there, because we'll be having that for a little bit later. I don't know how far I got you guys already. How far does yours go to right now? 27? Okay, so that takes you 28 through on. Okay. We're going to be in the book of Exodus right now, so if you want to turn to Exodus chapter 11, we'll be going into our study. Let's see what we have for some review stuff here. We got our word for this week is grace, and I'm glad we have grace, amen. I'm glad God does not expect us to earn our way to heaven, would not make it. Grace here, if you look at that on the Christian life, talk about when God gives us something good that we do not deserve. And if you know the verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you can say it with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we again praise God for the gift that is his. There's the 10 plagues we have already covered. Well, who could tell me the first plague? What was the first plague? Real quick. Blood. What was second plague? Frogs. What was the third one? Flies. Fourth one? Gnats. Lice. Either one. Fifth one? Huh? Oh, cattle murine? Yep. Six? Hold on. I got to come over to this side of the church. Number six? Huh? Boils. Yeah. Seven? Yep. Eight? Number nine? Ten? And that's where we're at tonight, or today. I guess it's tonight, it's p.m., right? And so those are the 10 plagues. We'll continue to review those for a little while there. We are on God Ordains the Passover. This is a great study here. This is the 10th and final plague and how it all begins to evolve here. And on day one, we talked about the Lord planned one last plague. Let's look at Exodus chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the land of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth on the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it in any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, And after that, I will go out, and he will put out from Pharaoh, and he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Now jump over to chapter 12 and look at verse number 12. The Lord says, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, on this first day of study concerning this area on the last plague, we have four questions. And the first question that was asked is, why did God send the plagues? Raise your hand, speak loudly. Why did they permit the plagues? Bob. Correct. He was going to show he is the Almighty, to show forth his power. And by the way, that would have not only influence on the Egyptians, but also Israel themselves and the lands that would hear about it later down the road. Second question was, what are the 10 plagues? And we already covered that one, so I won't expect you to answer that one. But what is the last plague? Who over on this side can tell me what the last one is? Death of the firstborn. And it's interesting, it gives us that amount, but it's going to be interesting how it takes place, okay? Question number four, why was this final plague? And it's interesting they asked the question, fair. Why was it fair? Over anybody over here? Nice and loud. Paul. Correct, correct. Very good. So, yeah, he's going to take the firstborn. What else do we have here? What was another final plague? What was its purpose? Or why was it fair? What was another area? Paul hit on one section. Why was it fair for God to do this, Don?
Over their paganism, over idolatry.
They were worshiping false gods, right? Even Pharaoh himself. Yep. So, by the way, let me just ask you a hypothetical question. Can I do that? Because I like seeing you guys get going here, all right? Hypothetical question. Would the Egyptians even be going through this had they repented and gotten things taken care of prior? So this is why we're talking about it's fair, is that God gave them 9 different opportunities, did he not, to repent and let the people go. He gave them 9 opportunities. So when it comes to the 10th one, you're going to keep my firstborn, I'm going to take yours.
Not only that, but each one of those were worse than the last one.
Correct, correct.
So they showed that he was the Almighty because nobody else
could
do it.
Correct.
Put that out there for them if they want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very, very important. Okay, anybody have any thoughts before we go to day 2? Glenn. Anybody, how many here are firstborns? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 firstborns. Wow. Only child, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that would include only childs too. That would be a tough one, would it not, on that day? Huh? Was it only men that were destroyed? So let me ask you that, because I'm not recalling offhand. Was it only the men, firstborns, that were destroyed, or was it the firstborn? It's just the firstborn. That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
It says in verse 12, that I will smite the firstborn of the land, both man and beast.
Mankind.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, mankind. But, hey, that's a good one. I like that. That's true. But it is mankind he's referring to. Correct. Yeah, it was showing they had no foundation for what they were living for and standing on.
Greater and greater and greater back all of God's down.
Yeah, God doesn't even mention them anymore. Correct. Yeah. So if those of you that raised your hands, if you were born and raised Egyptians, you would not be here probably if the plague was taking place today. That's why it's always better to be the younger ones, right? Day number two, here we go. It talks about the Lord gave a Passover sacrifice. The Lord gave a Passover sacrifice. Look at chapter 12. Let's read a little bit here, beginning with verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye all to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, with his pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth it until the morning shall be burned with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So now we get into this area on the Lord gave the Passover sacrifice. Question one, what did the Israelites do to be protected from the plague? They killed a lamb, correct. What else? Put blood upon the doorpost. What else? What are we seeing? Okay, unleavened bread, bitter herbs. What else? It had to be a lamb that was out without blemish. What else?
That's something else I'm going to bring up, because under the law, they had to take certain days and so forth to examine that beast.
Correct.
To make sure there were no blemishes.
Correct.
They didn't have time to do that.
4 days.
Yeah,
they did have time. Yep.
They stayed inside.
They stayed inside. They couldn't come out.
And they
ate with their shoes on. They always took their shoes off before they went in the house. So they're eating with everything, girded. By the way, it says that they're girded up. They're ready to go. What else? What does that all mean? All those things are correct. What is all that actually, when you draw a line under it and put a plus sign, what does that equal?
Passover.
Correct. All of these things, I want you to listen, because everything that you guys mentioned was what God told them to do. They did everything in complete and total obedience. That's what God is looking for from us. Complete and total obedience. If you want God's protection, I will give it to you, but you have to do it my way. Had they left out any of those things, they would have been like David bringing the ark home on a new cart, complete disobedience, because only that little bit of leaven would have leavened the whole lump, no matter what area. What was this called, everybody? Passover. It's the Passover feast. God would come through and pass over those when he saw the blood. What happened when the plague came? Huh? Death. Death. I mean, who did the... has anybody tried to visualize what's happening here? So the night's come, the lamb's been slain, right? And who's coming through? The villages. Who's coming through the villages? The death what? The death angel. Anybody else? Who is the death angel? I think you're right. Apollyon, which would be Lucifer, Satan, he's known as the destroyer. And I think the death angel was Satan, because if you read, it says that the Lord came through and then he would allow the death angel to enter. Okay? That's pretty clearly taught in Scripture that the Lord would come through when he would see the blood. He would not permit him to go in. If there was no blood, like on that door there, he would permit him to go in and take the firstborn. And I can just say this from a human perspective. What if you're, even if you're a believer, knowing that's going on outside, because you can't go outside, that would be an eerie night. Huh? That would be kind of an eerie night, even knowing that I'm safe and secure. And by the way, have you all knew that Jesus was our lamb, right? Our Passover lamb. But has his blood been applied to the doorpost of your heart? Then you are safe in him. Amen? And by the way, there's something here I was going to bring up in Exodus 12. And look at something. You probably saw it too. Look at verse 3. He says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take them every man a lamb." I want you to notice that phrase, a lamb, according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for a house. If you got a pen, you ought to underline or circle the phrase, a lamb, in verse 3. And watch the progression here. You have a lamb in verse 3. Look at verse number 4. And if the household be too little for, look what it says, the lamb. It changes from a lamb to the lamb. And it says at the bottom of verse 4, eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now look at verse 5, your lamb. A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. And that's what you have to understand, that you have to make Christ your lamb. John says, the Lamb of God, right? Which takes away the sins of the world, but he has to become your lamb. Day 3, anybody have any thoughts on day 2 still? Closing. Day 3, let's see what we got on that one here. The Lord killed the firstborn. Verse 29 of chapter 12. There's a lot of reading here, so I'm trying to pick select areas here. But verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. No respecter here of persons. And all firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and that were as a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. And also take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." I like that. He had a little bit of common sense still there at the very end. And I always wonder, how did he bless him, you know? And the Egyptians were urgent unto the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We will all be dead, men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound upon their clothes, upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel sojourned from Ramoth to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared themselves any victuals. That's always been an interesting word. It doesn't look like it says victuals, but it sounds like it would be victuals, right? Yeah, but it's victuals. Y'all know victuals, right? We're Texans here, right? So this is day three. This is where the Lord kills the thing. The questions we have here are interesting ones. It asks, what did it sound like the night of the Passover? Somebody knew. Who hasn't said something yet? What did it sound like the night of the Passover? Huh? Yeah. How did that sound, by the way? Y'all ever hear when there's a tornado sirens going off? How eerie that sounds? I think this would have been more eerie, because this was people wailing. Have anybody seen somebody cry over the loss of somebody? Has anybody of you ever been in a place where somebody was wailing over people?
I know a mother that almost crawled in the grave with her son.
Yep. I've seen people wail heavily. I was at a hospital for a member's, one of the ladies in our church. Her dad was in the hospital ready to die. I go up to the hospital to visit with them. There was just three sisters in the family. They were brought up Pentecostal. She was the only one that came out of Pentecostalism. The rest of them were still in it. And I'm talking about the crazy Pentecostalism, okay? And I'm there, and I'm sitting there ministering and praying with them and talking with them. And there was two other pastors there, both Pentecostal pastors. And I'm thinking, Lord, why am I here? There's three of us here, two Pentecostal pastors and me, a Baptist. Why am I even here? Well, I found out when he passed, when he took his last breath, I found out why I was there. I found out why all three of us were there. I have never, ever, ever seen, because Pentecostals, if it's a certain denominational Pentecostals, they don't believe in eternal security. And these sisters, even the one that was a member of my church, were laying on him, laying on the bed, crying, oh, Daddy, please come back. Don't leave us. I'm talking about loud, to where they were bringing nurses down to orchestrate. One comes out of the thing, pukes everywhere. She's so emotional. The other one sees that, and she goes, oh, she passes out. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, now I know why I'm here. It took three preachers and a dozen nurses to take, and I hate to use the term circus, but it was like a circus taking place of so many things at one time. It was like, this is incredible. Folks, I'll guarantee you, there were some crazy things going on that night. It wasn't just people wiping tears and blowing their noses and getting snot out of their noses. There was wailing going on, heavy, heavy crying and screaming. I'll guarantee you there was screaming going on. Yes. Yep. So there is, folks, we're not even talking about one family. We're not even talking about two families. We're talking about a nation. That their noise was rising up. And I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, I don't know how they died. What did the death angel do? Did he just take their breath, you know? And if it was something that was that quiet, how did people wake up and know that they were dead? I mean, that's just how my mind thinks. I'm trying to go deeper, but it doesn't go into that. But something triggers something that causes the noise to rise through the whole land of Egypt. So it was a major, major crisis. What did the Egyptians give to the Israelites? Who can give me one of the things? What? Gold. What else? Silver. What else? Huh? Raiments, gemstones, all that stuff. What was all that stuff going to be used for, by the way? Tabernacle. All that would be the resources for the tabernacle. And that's a whole other story we'll get into, actually, in our next ones that you'll pick up here. We'll have tabernacle in it. After being delivered from Pharaoh's power, who became Israel's leader? God. God. Is God, it's an easy question to answer with the generic term, is God your leader? Because we can all say, yeah, and he is, because if we are in Christ, he is our head. But are we following him and his ways word for word? And we're going to find out that Israel followed him, but then they began to murmur and complain. Kind of like people I would know, myself. Yeah, myself. Anybody have any thoughts on day number three? Doyle. Correct. Well, during the, it's interesting, that's a good question, because during the plagues, there were some of the servants, when the fire came down and the hail came down and was killing some of the animals and the servants in the field, some of the servants, or some of the people brought the servants and the animals in. So they, and by the way, remember, Egypt, you have your Egyptians, but they had a, not just Israel's probably for slaves, they probably had a multitude of other people for slavery. So I think that there was some of them that were starting to wise up and not listen necessarily to what Pharaoh was doing, but they started protecting some of their stuff. And I think those are the ones that had enough common sense to say, you know what, whatever God tells them to do, we're going to do too. So I don't know if the mixed multitude put blood on the doors or not. Anybody have any ideas on that? Huh? They made it out. They definitely went. So that could imply that they put the blood on. That could have been that true. All we know is there is a mixed multitude that went out and actually, we'll go ahead. Correct. That's true. Correct. I mean, so they could have lost a firstborn and still went. They maybe applied blood and didn't lose a firstborn. It doesn't get into details. It's just almost as if God has Egyptians, Israelites, that he makes a difference between. And then when they're leaving, he makes mention, oh, there's a mixed multitude going with them too. Which they'll come up in the stories, by the way, too, down the road. Some for good and some of it not so good. They'll have an influence here. Anybody else? Day number four, let's see what we have there. So the firstborn are killed. The Lord commanded Israel to remember. Very important here. Look at chapter 13 in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. For this day came in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day ye shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall you eat 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leavened seen with thee in thy quarters or your homes. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And that shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh out of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of the ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children of Israel shalt thou redeem. And he goes on talking about it. And then later he offers a second thing where he says, to teach your children this again. Let the children know. Very clearly, God wants this passed on every single generation. There's an object lesson here now. Now let's look at the questions here on this. Why did God give these ceremonies? Glenn. Correct. The truth cannot pass on if we don't remember it. That's why when we have little children that we're raising, we take the Lord's Supper, a reminder of what Christ did for us. It's a reminder. Which, when Jesus instituted the Last Supper, what had they previously just observed? Anybody know? The Passover. Jesus was taking the Passover with the disciples. And then he instituted the Lord's Supper off of that. As in, do this in remembrance of me. There's the New Testament covenant that's taking place. So when we believe that a person does not partake of the Lord's Supper unless they are saved and baptized, those two things, then they're able to partake of the elements. If you have a child that's not old enough to understand salvation yet, and that doesn't mean you send them off somewhere. No, you have them sit right next to you, even though they don't get to take the bread, they don't get to take of the cup. It is now your opportunity to do this before your children so that your children will say, Mommy, Daddy, what is it you guys were doing? And then you get to explain to them how the Lord was your Passover and how he delivered you from bondage and how they can come to know him one day by themselves. And so it's the same exact principle. You can do that with your grandchildren if they're sitting with you or whatever. It gives you an opportunity to instruct and teach them, as Paul told Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's your time to give them instruction. Though they can't partake of it, it gives them an understanding of what it's about so that when they get saved, they will be a partaker as well. The next question it had here is, what did the Passover Supper help the Israelites remember? What did they remember? Somebody give me something on that. The night that the Lord passed over, I'll tell you what, the firstborn would always be sure that they remembered that. Amen? What else did it remind them? They didn't taste death that night. Bob? Huh? Yes. Correct. What else? Anything? Yes. Good. Yeah. Look at the next one. It says, what did the Feast of Unleavened Bread help the Israelites to remember? Huh? Be ready to go. It's interesting because in 1 Corinthians 5, they're having the issue of a man having sexual relations with his mother. It says his father's wife. I would take it as that something. Maybe it was his stepmom. It doesn't say that. It just says his father's mother. And whatever's going on, the church must have been full of mercies because they were like, oh, we can't do it, you know. And Paul steps up because he's going to straighten that out. He says, I'm there in spirit, though not, I'm not in body. This should be dealt with right now. And he brings in the thing about leaven. Leaven always represents what, everybody? Sin. And he says, if you allow a little bit of sin in, what's it going to do? Spread. It's going to spread. But here it showed them that they had to be ready to go. Correct, Paul? They had to be ready to go. That means no sin. Folks, now think about this. We, at any moment, we believe in the imminent return of Christ at any moment. That means we should be living a life with no leaven. No leaven in us, no leaven in our quarters, it said, their homes. Not in the life, and not even a provision for it in your home. We don't know when Christ is going to return. And I tell you what, you want to be without sin when that happens, amen? You don't want to be living in something right now, all right? Anybody have a quick thought here? We're almost out of time. What did the consecration of the firstborn help the Israelites to remember? Fonda. Everything belongs to God. Even when we give the first fruits of our increase, that's not only belongs to God, he's letting us know it's all because of me that you even have it. Just a reminder that we are nothing without him, all right? Day 5, last day, Jesus is the Passover lamb for believers. And they have 1 Corinthians 5 covered there, that whole chapter. I'm going to flip over there. We'll look at verse 6 through 8 real quick here. 1 Corinthians 5, we were already discussing there a little bit. This is that setting with the sin in the church. And in verse number 6, Paul is writing, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even, here it is, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So the questions that we had on day number 5 is, who is the Passover lamb for believers? And everybody said, Jesus. And what does the hyssop represent? Purification, very important. By the way, hyssop was used not only in the blood being applied, hyssop was also used for medicinal purposes, for healing. And so that's another thing, but also here ultimately is purification. And what does the leaven represent in the Bible? It's interesting what they say here. It represents what? Evil, sin, all right, but what is the other word they use here? Influence. I'd never heard that before. I always heard it was evil or sin. I never heard influence. But when you look at what Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, he was showing that little leaven leavens the whole, it influences other people to sin. That's why when a church carries out, and we hate to do it, but if a church ever has to go to the place to carry out church discipline, as they had to do here, which is not a fun thing, it's for them to get right, restoration and repentance. But when a church has to do that, it triggers that God will, as he said in 1 Corinthians 5, he will give him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul would be saved. He doesn't lose his salvation, but God will take a man's life prematurely if he has to. And it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians 5, in dealing with sin, he gives him over to Satan. Dalen, you're talking about the destroyer in the Old Testament. Here we have that a man in sin, a believer in sin, that won't repent is given over to Satan, the destroyer of the flesh, in the New Testament just as well. And so I've seen church discipline acted upon a couple of times. I've seen a man lose his life because of church discipline. God took him with a massive heart attack, and he was younger than me. He was probably in his 40s. So why should we, last question, why should we live holy lives? Why should we live holy lives? Correct. Number one, he's commanded his people to be ye holy, for I am holy. What's another thing? That's the number one foundation. What else? Huh? Okay, he saved us from the sin. Okay. We should be living unto righteousness for him, right? He died for our sins so that we can live unto righteousness. Plus, it gets into the picture again. We have to be ready. We don't know when he's coming back. The imminent return, that we are ready to go, that we're not looking down in shame, but we're looking forward. Next week, as you study this week, Exodus 14 through 15, God parts the Red Sea. Interesting study. And we got some. We're in a good part of the book of Exodus. It's really got good stuff here. So let me encourage you as we head out, take a minute, come up here, grab one of these to add to your binder for the next. We won't need them for another few weeks here, but I just thought I'd get them out. I had too much on my desk in my office, and figure you can have stuff in your desk at your home, all right? So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then you can come up and get these things here. Father, add your blessing. Thank you for the Lamb of God, which has taken away the sins of the world. We thank you for John pointing out that he is the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, that each one here today has made a profession that he is their Lamb. He's our Lamb. Just help us to live accordingly for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.